Why do you think it is that girls have this pressure on them?
Honestly, I don't know. I think it's in our nature. Like, yeah. we fall and we stuff up, but we don't want people to know about it. Mm-hmm. I guess we just want people to think that we're all right. Instantly, I was like, no. But then after I thought about it, I was like, no, you've been thinking about this for a while. I should consider it.
Good responses from people?
My mum liked it. Good. Obviously criticizing me 24/7. So. things I can add and things I could not say. Who else got feedback? Camilla liked it. She's excited to come here tonight. No one else really.
Okay.
Yeah. Good. I haven't heard.
I got some random compliments for it.
Mm. About this specific episode or in general?
About your first episode. Uh-huh. From... Who was it? John Sutt. Yeah, I was talking to him the other day and he was like, mate, I really like that girl show. I'm very excited to see what they do with it.
That's nice to hear.
Yeah, so people are watching.
Yeah, like I've had feedback from school friends as well. They haven't seen this episode, but like they were so excited that we started something. So I was like, this will be good.
Good.
Good opportunity.
I'm glad. And I'm glad you've jumped on today, Jem. Welcome, ladies and gentlemen. Welcome to another episode of Talk To Me. You know it. It is the show where I get my friends to talk to me. And today I am excited to say I have one of our hosts from Tell Me More. I got Larissa on first and now I had to get a partner in crime. Gemma, thank you so much for joining me today.
Thanks for having me, Ray.
I'm very happy you're excited about this.
Yeah, I actually was. I feel like this is studio slowly becoming my home.
Good. I'm glad it feels that way. I'm glad this den of guy smell is starting to be a little bit more, you know, girl-friendly.
Yeah, I should buy a diffuser or something for this place.
Thing is, I've got two diffusers in this place.
Do they smell nice?
Yeah.
Okay.
Well, they're the, what do you call it? They're the oil ones.
Yes.
Which I'm a big fan of.
Yeah, bring it in.
I hate candles.
Right, okay.
But I love the oil diffusers.
Okay.
I don't know why.
We've got to buy some scents for it. You can just drop some in.
Yeah. I've got a cup. You know what? I'm going to show you my cupboard later. You can go nuts with it.
Yeah, great.
Yep, okay. Done. Well, thanks for jumping on. I'm excited about this because I thought, you know what? We've got one of our great podcast hosts and your second episode just dropped today, which is exciting.
It did.
And I thought it'd be a good opportunity to get your story out. Mm-hmm. Tell the people at home who you are, let them know what's going on with Jem, and probably deep dive a little bit. So
sure,
it will be fun. Mm-hmm. Ladies and gents, make sure you like this video, subscribe to the channel, ring the notification bell so you never miss an episode. We have changed our episode times to 5 p.m. because apparently that's when you guys are watching everything. So we want to make sure that you see everything and that everything goes your way. If there are any questions or suggestions, drop them in the comments, let us know, and we'll be able to get things rolling because you guys are the ones that are running this thing. It's been awesome. You guys bought some merch, which is great. Jem, we're matching today.
We are matching.
I'm very happy we are. I'm very happy we are. I'm happy that all of you have really jumped on board with all of this. And most recently, we dropped our vlog. Did you watch that at all?
I watched a portion of it. I'm sorry.
And I'm guessing you swiped away straight away because it was very cringe.
That was my first thought, but I do have to go back and watch it. I'm sure it would have been funny.
Well, thank you, ladies and gents, because you guys liked it so much. Stat and I did have a discussion yesterday and we will be continuing them. So you're welcome. We hate doing them, but because you love them so much, we'll get them going. Mm-hmm. So that's where we're at.
Yeah.
This feels interesting, Jem, because I feel like I'm talking to a business partner now, you know?
A business partner.
Yeah, just not some random person that's jumping on the show.
Oh, wow.
You sort of get all this stuff.
Yeah.
Now, let me ask you, what went through your mind when I asked you to jump on to have a chat and start your own show and get the ball rolling with Larissa?
At first, I was wanting to say no instantly.
Yep.
Only because I guess I was scared. I don't like public speaking. I don't like, I guess, being vulnerable in that sense. So instantly I was like, no. But then after I thought about it, I was like, no, you've been thinking about this for a while. I should consider it. It's not by chance that I guess some guy from church has his own production.
Some guy. Well, yeah. Thank you. I'll take that. I'll take that, Monica.
With a whole setup and everything. So I guess it was meant to be.
Yep. So what changed your mind though? You're fighting with that the entire time going back and forth. Because the big thing about this, I've always said, is vulnerability.
Yep.
You do get to a very vulnerable state. Mm-hmm. What gave you the okay to say, you know what, I'm comfortable getting vulnerable?
I think it was because there was a need for it.
Okay.
I guess there wasn't anything out there in Australia. There's a lot of American podcasts, women podcasters out there, but someone, I guess we know personally, there isn't much of that out there, I guess, to listen to something while you're driving or while you're doing something is important. You're not always face-to-face with people, so having that conversation online is a good way to have those conversation starters in person.
Yeah, and that is a great point. I mean, this podcast has really allowed us to talk to people at a different level.
Yeah.
You know, reach people that we've never even spoken to before and see how just an episode or 30 seconds of a conversation can help someone with their week or their day. So that's awesome. What is it about Tell Me More that you're wanting to put out? What is it that drives that show for you or your goal behind that show?
Yeah, I think it's important to know that no one's perfect. So I guess having our lives put forward as an example and speaking on experiences that we've been through is a driver, because many people think that, oh, you know, you go to church in day in and day out, like you must have a perfect life. So I think shining a light on the lives of a Christian and the things that they go through or the things that they face on a daily basis is important.
Yeah, 100%. Because the thing about Christians, like you said, people think we're perfect or we try to put on the perfect persona. Yep. And I think on the inside, Christians try to have that perfect persona and say that we don't make mistakes. Yep. The one thing that I have liked about what Stat and I have tried to do and what you ladies did without even consulting with us was our whole moniker is we make mistakes and we're going to own those mistakes. Because there's this thought that you need to be perfect on the internet. Everything you say is there permanently, so you need to be completely precise with everything you say. Yep. Stat and I have always had the attitude and the thought process of if we make a mistake, we make a mistake, and we will own up to that mistake the next week. You girls have done a really good job in the episodes we've already recorded in saying, these are the mistakes I've made, and I'm going to continue to make and try to be better.
Yep.
Do you think Christians are struggling to just be people and they put too much of a pressure on themselves?
Yeah, there's a massive pressure, I think, to be perfect and put on a persona that, you know, everything's good. Even growing up, I guess my life on the outside looked perfect, but really what the issue was the heart, you know. No one sees that, so you're not really going to talk about it.
Is that worse with girls?
I think so.
Why do you think that is? Because guys, it's like we're allowed to make mistakes. I've seen it with girls, especially girls at church. I've seen it in them. It's like they're so scared of making that mistake or falling or doing something that stuffs them up. Why do you think it is that girls have this pressure on them?
Honestly, I don't know. I think it's in our nature. Like we fall and we stuff up, but we don't want people to know about it.
Mm-hmm.
I guess we just want people to think that we're all right.
And it's important not to have that attitude, because that's, you know, not an attitude that Christ expects of you. He doesn't expect perfection. He just expects you to do your best and to live a life with him.
Yeah.
How would you help a girl that's struggling with that and saying, I need to be perfect. I need to make the right call every single time.
Yeah.
I'm not allowed to make a mistake.
Yeah, I think if you're feeling like that or thinking in that way, I think it's important to know that Christ literally came to this earth because we aren't perfect. And knowing that, I guess, gives you the grace and the, you know, the power and the opportunity to come to Christ and just apologize about the mistakes that you've done and just own up to it. I guess it's the devil's role to bring you far away from Christ. So once you've stuffed up, the devil's wanting to make you feel like, yeah, Christ doesn't love you. You're so far away from God that you can't run back to him. But it's the complete opposite. So knowing that Christ has come because we aren't perfect and he's told the world that. So I guess you sharing that experience with others will help them as well come to Christ.
One, I couldn't agree with that more. And I think that there is a pressure that needs to be taken away. And that's what we're trying to do here. We're just trying to take away the pressure. I mean, the amount of times I've had someone come up to me or DM us and say, oh, you guys are just normal. Like, you guys are just normal blokes. Yeah. Normal's a very big stretch, but they say you're just normal guys that just like to have a laugh and you're Christians. And most recently someone said, oh, who you are on camera is who you are in real life. And if we can bring that out in people, if we can bring that out in Christians especially, it can just show them, hey, you're allowed to make a mistake.
Yeah, exactly.
You're allowed to stuff up. Jesus still loves you.
Yeah, there's no need to be ashamed.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So let's take it back. I've grown up with you. We grew up in the same church. I've known you ever since I can remember. I mean, I grew up with your brothers. How did you become a Christian? What's your story there? Because I don't think I've ever heard it.
Yeah, my story, it starts a while ago, obviously. We, as a family, knew of Christ, knew who Jesus was, knew the stories. You know, I grew up in the Catholic education system, so I was always hearing about Jesus and what he did and that he loved me, but I never understood the depth of it and how it could apply to my own life. Growing up, we went to church off and on. I would say we were never consistent about it. My parents knew a couple of people that were attending faith, so that's how we kind of knew about it.
Do you have a Catholic background? Or was it always a Christian background?
My mum's side is predominantly Catholic. Uh-huh. There's a few Christians on my dad's side.
Okay, so what made them go to faith, besides knowing people there? Did they not see that much of a difference between the...
No, so yeah, my mum mostly saw a difference in the way the women that she were friends with were living. She could see a difference in, I guess, their peace and their lifestyle was completely different, and I guess she wanted to explore that a bit further. So I guess she was the catalyst in bringing us to church and the faith, yeah.
Nice. So you start attending faith as a child?
Yeah.
How old are you at that point, you reckon?
When we first started attending?
Yeah.
Well, I know Zach was less than a year old when we first started.
Oh, okay. So it's that long ago. Okay.
1994.
Wowza.
Yeah. Obviously, I wasn't born then.
Yep, neither was I.
So from that point on, we were off and on. Okay. I guess we only started becoming consistent in about 2010. Mm-hmm. I was about 8 years old, I believe.
Okay.
Do the math correctly. 2002, I was born.
Yeah, you too. Mm-hmm. Howza. Okay.
8 years.
Yeah,
I think so.
Yeah, 8 years.
Yeah, and I remember, I think it was a Friday night was maybe my first day at the church. And we had a Bible club session. I think it was with your dad, actually.
That would have been like Chester Hill days.
Yeah. No, 2010 was in Regent Park.
Was it?
Wasn't it?
Year 2009. Yeah, you're right. It's our first year in okay.
I believe it was.
First year at Rejo's.
Yep.
And you're in the Bible club session.
Yes.
Okay.
The topic happened to be about heaven and hell.
He loved that topic. He loved reaching into that.
Yeah, and I remember it being like scary. I was so scared after that talk. And so I went home. Nothing really changed. I guess I was just scared.
Yeah.
So I prayed the sinner's prayer, obviously, over and over again. Because I was scared of dying, going to hell. Nothing really changed. It was more out of a fear that I came to God and just said the words, and it wasn't a heart confession.
It was a comfort thing.
Yeah.
Just the way the phone comfort, yeah.
Yeah, so years go on. I attend church as normal. I think I'm a Christian. I have doubts about my salvation. Skip forward to about 2016 at Epic Camp.
Okay, so hold up. Before we do get there, mm-hmm. It's 8 years of, this is real, but it's not, right? You're sort of playing with your Christianity a bit. It's part of your life. You've grown up in this place. Yeah. Is there ever a thought going through your head saying, why am I doing this? Why is this my life? Or were you just comfortable with, this is my family's call?
Yeah, I guess I never really questioned it, to be honest. I was quite young, so wherever my family went, I had to be there, so... I enjoyed going. I know I enjoyed going and having friends and learning new things, but I think I was too young to even think about
and
that kind
stayed,
of stuff.
That stayed that way during your high school years as well?
No, I would say I became more aware,
okay.
And I understood a bit more, and I knew the importance of Christ and of salvation and all the concepts that are important to us as Christians. I guess it was, I just didn't know how to approach God. I think that was my issue.
So all that time, you're still questioning, how do I come to him properly?
Yeah.
What was it about that was the struggle for you?
I don't know. I just, every time I would pray, I'm like, did I really mean it? how do I know if I meant it, you know?
That self-doubt.
Yeah.
And you're just constantly playing with that self-doubt.
Constantly, yeah.
Which is a big thing for a lot of teenagers. They do play with that self-doubt a lot, because I think the biggest struggle growing up in the church is not knowing how to make it yours.
Yeah.
How to make Christianity personal to you. And when you hit those early teen years, it's sort of a struggle to know, was this me? Are the decisions I made as a kid, were they legit? Am I just here because of my parents?
Yep.
So there is a lot of self-doubt as you're discussing Christianity with yourself, with your friends. But then you hit Epic Camp 2016.
Yeah, I hit Epic Camp 2016, and the message, I don't remember exactly what it was on, but I remember the statement being said over and over again, it's better to be safe than sorry. Uh-huh. And that just is ripped prime me to for my
you.
Core.
That is prime for you.
Yeah, okay. Ripped me to my core. And it was that night. Obviously, there was an altar call. People, if you want to get saved, raise your hand. Like, someone will take you aside and teach you through the Bible how you can become a Christian and know you have a home in heaven. And I obviously was ashamed. Didn't put my hand up. But after that service, I think I sat outside by myself, just thinking about everything. And then one of the girls sat with me and like, well, yeah, what are you thinking about? Because I was sitting by myself. And I just, I told them. And I guess that person just prayed with me, and she went, told me, you know, you don't need to doubt your salvation. Went through the Bible with me, and we prayed together, and that night I got saved.
What was different about that night compared to the other times you had tried to? What solidified your doubt? What got rid of it?
I recognized I couldn't do it on my own.
Okay.
This whole time I was thinking about the words I was saying, and if I was good enough and if I stuffed up, like, God's going to take that salvation away. Like, I'm not good enough for God to give me this salvation, you know? And then...
Sorry, where's that pressure come from?
I don't know. I have no idea. I think just growing up with kids who always grew up in church, their family were all Christians, their parents were Christians. I guess I never really had that experience where my whole family, like my extended family, were Christians.
Yeah.
Yeah, my parents and my siblings were saved, but I guess, I don't know, there was just the whole fear around people thinking I was a Christian as well, and me openly coming out and saying, oh no, this whole time I was just doubting my salvation, and I guess people would look down on me.
And that's all self-inflicted. There was nothing that anyone ever said to you.
No.
Or anything that sort of put you in that spot. It was just you thinking to yourself, I've got to be this image. Mm. I've got to have this image, and I can't make that mistake. I mean, it affects you to the night of your salvation, where you're not willing to put your hand up and get the help that you obviously know you need.
Yep.
But that's fighting back. Why is it that you would still not give in, even though you knew you needed that help?
Again, I was just ashamed that whole time. People, I was faithful at church. I was in ministry. I don't know, people looked up to me, I guess. I wasn't the youngest in Epic as well. Like, I had been there for a couple years. And I have no idea.
Just thought you'd let people down in the way?
Yeah, the devil also got in my head a bit. I didn't live, obviously, no one lives a perfect life, but I would say I could have lived a better life growing up at that point.
Yeah.
And just thinking that I wasn't good enough.
And what was it about this friend that finally got you to open up and let go of all that pressure?
She didn't say anything special to me. Like, it was just a standard conversation, but I think I had had enough, and I knew I could, you know, talk to her.
You just needed someone to give you that push?
I guess so.
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
And that conversation led you just to opening up and finally letting go?
Yeah, I just prayed and I asked God to forgive me of my sins, and God took away all that self-doubt and all that worry that I had. I guess knowing that I couldn't depend on myself anymore, it was a massive burden lifted off my shoulder.
And that burden does get lifted off, and you're moving forward with your life and you're loving it. How does life sort of differ? How does it change?
I didn't see a change instantly. I obviously went about my days probably almost the same, because again, I was attending church.
Yeah.
I feel like the thing that changed was my the fire that I had for God. I wanted to tell people. I wanted to read my Bible more often. I wouldn't say there was much of a outward change because I had been that Christian for so long. It was more my heart that changed.
You had that inner peace.
Yeah.
And that's a big thing that a lot of people are looking for. They're looking for that inner peace.
Yeah.
And I'm going to get back to that because I think inner peace is a big struggle for a lot of people, especially growing up in the church. But the thing that's also a struggle for people is staying awake. Now, I've got to tell you, Jem, I know you were waiting for it. Ladies and gentlemen, let me tell you, this magic mind stuff, it's not a joke. It's legit. You're seeing it all over the podcast. Mate, Magic Mind, from our friends over at Magic Mind, they're going to help you stay awake. This thing's got matcha. This thing's got vitamins, nootropics, all this stuff that I can't pronounce. But let me tell you, it's phenomenal and it's going to boost your energy. If you want to stay focused, if you want to stay, have some mental clarity in your life, get onto some Magic Mind. They will give you up to 20% off, actually. So just click the link in the description or follow that that link that's showing up on the screen there, and you will be able to get some Magic Mind for yourself. Be as nice to them as they've been to us. Just use the promo code HAVEACHAT20, and they will help you get some mental clarity.
Mm-hmm.
You were waiting for it, weren't you?
I was. That was a nice way that you slid that in.
Thank you. But I was being serious about the inner peace thing.
Mm.
Because you just said that you grew up without that inner peace whatsoever. Mm. In fact, it was a struggle for you.
Yeah, I could not sleep most nights when I first heard about salvation and heaven and hell.
And still you were battling day in and day out. But finally you get saved. Finally you give it all over to the Lord and you get this inner peace about your life. How does that change your mentality, your outlook on things?
Yeah, everything that came on in my life thereafter was, not to say it was hard, but God allowed his spirit to comfort me during times where, if I look back and thought, if I wasn't a Christian then, like, I don't know how I would have gotten through certain times.
Mm. We live in a pretty scary world, and the thing about Christianity is it becomes a crutch for people. You know, just recently there was a stabbing in Bondi, and a day later there's a shooting in the city. There seems to be so much fear that's running rampant throughout the world. There seems to be so much anxiety and so much uncertainty, I guess. And it can make someone freak out.
Yep.
I mean, we have things pop up in life all the time that we're just sort of like, what's going on? How do you stick close to the Lord in that way? How do you find peace during those hard times?
I guess the obvious answer is praying and being in God's word is the utmost important thing, I think. People say, like, if you don't have a relationship with God, how do you know his characteristics? God's a God of peace and a God of love, and you're not going to attain those things in your own life if you don't know that about Christ.
Yeah.
For me, meditating on scripture was a major thing. So if I had struggled with a sin or with just not knowing what to do, it was battling something, I would search scriptures that would pinpoint that specific situation in my life, and I would try and ponder on it, but also memorize it. So whenever I would think on, you know, negative thoughts or things like, why is this happening in my life, I would be able to bring those to the forefront of my mind.
Can you unpack that for me? Meditation on God's word. Now, I haven't heard anyone explain their process in meditating on God's word. Can you explain how that happens with you?
Yeah. I would say it would be reading it, obviously.
Yep.
Reading it quite a bit. I like to write it down.
Okay.
I like to also apply it to specific things in my own life. That way it kind of sticks in my mind.
You're writing that down?
Yeah.
Okay. So you're sort of journaling the verse that has stuck out to you?
Yep. Yeah. Okay. I like to journal sometimes. I've done it a couple times. I would like stick up a verse and put it on a mirror. So when I would look at it, I could see the verse that I'm pondering on. Actually, sometimes it's pretty practical. I screenshot the verse and I put it as my phone, my screensaver.
Uh-huh.
Every time I look at my phone, which is obviously 24/7, I'm reminded of that verse. So I think that's a good way.
Okay, so you're journaling it, you're writing it down, you're putting it up in places for you to remember, and you're memorizing it.
Yep.
Is that happening for a long period of time? Is that happening for a day? What's usually your go-to there? Because I don't, the reason I'm getting into that is because I don't think people really understand the practicality of meditating on God's word. Mm. You know, we talk about it all the time. Memorize, read, meditate.
Yeah.
But people don't really understand the process of meditating, though it might be different for everyone.
Yeah.
It's very impactful in your walk with the Lord.
Yeah. For me, it was... What was the question again?
Wow, I've drawn the blank. How does that practically help you? Are you doing that throughout one day, the week? What's the go?
However long it needs to be memorized for, meditated on, until my mind and my heart is clear and peace is within me through that verse, I think, is however long that takes. And for me also, I might add, I like to pray over the verse. I like to claim the promises of God. So if God promises peace, I would just ask God to give me that peace. Like, Lord, you promise this in your word, and I know it's something that I can expect, biblical expectation.
I'm getting very basic, but like, are you saying, Lord, you said in this verse that I just read and reciting the reference, whatever it is, give me that peace from this verse?
Yeah.
Really?
Yeah.
And you find that that really helps with you staying connected with God's word and adding that to your life?
Yeah.
That's awesome, because I don't think a lot of people understand that that is a process and that it's something that the Lord expects of us to read his word and to claim those promises within his word, and they do really change your life.
Yeah, they're not in there for no reason. Like, God's put them in there, and he's made those promises, and he's willing to fulfill them if we're just willing to grab onto them
and move forward with them.
Yeah.
How are you finding ministry life at church? I mean, you've grown up in the church. I always go back to this topic, but it does intrigue me. You've grown up in the church. Mm-hmm. You end up joining Bible Club a little bit later down the line. Was that during your high school years?
I think it's...
Was that just after?
I think I was in year 12 when I first started.
Okay.
Yep.
What made you jump into Bible Club?
I love kids. Okay. I think that was my initial
thought. Good start.
I know they needed help as well. So I wasn't on the roster. I was on whenever they needed a sub or something like that. So I knew I liked kids. So I thought I'd jump on. They needed a hand. So why not?
And you spent a few years in Bible Club helping in there, but then you moved on to Epic.
Mm-hmm.
What have your years in Epic been like? How have you felt about them?
Love them.
Yeah?
My own personal years, or like leading, being a leader?
Leading.
Yeah,
because they're very different, right? Like, you've had your impact in Epic as a teenager. Yep. Now you're leading in that field. How do you find the Lord using you there, or what do you find is your role within that group, or why is it so important to be a youth leader there?
I think it's very important because the kids are looking up to someone, and if it's not a godly influence, they're going to look elsewhere. So it's important to be that grounded person that they can look up to and talk to. I guess I'm still working my way through it. It's not an easy ministry, but I know that it blesses the teens, but it also blesses us as leaders. I saw the Lord work in more ways than I ever imagined in my own life through Epic.
Yep.
Even though I'm a leader, I just, God's shown me his power and strength. More than I can imagine.
There's something about imparting what you've learned to someone else. I'd never get over it. I never get over the feeling of being able to use a mistake that I made in the life of someone else and teach them, hey, don't make that mistake. It was a dumb one.
Yeah.
It was a dumb one. But there's something about imparting that and being able to move that forward and see a teenager grasp it and say, you're going to be doing so much better than me when you're at our level. What is it about Epic that you're loving so far? Is this your second year or third?
I think it's third.
Third year?
Yeah. I love that we can impart practical ways that they can take on board to live a life outside of church. For me, when I was in Epic, that was the major thing for me. Mark teaching us things on how we can be impactful at school, in our families, how to handle situations that may be tough and unexpected in our lives. Being a part of that is just awesome.
And making Christianity real.
Yeah.
And I think that's pretty fitting, hearing your testimony and how you struggled with the pressures of Christianity, even though you put those on yourself, and trying to be that good Christian outside and failing at that and not realizing there's actually a proper way to do this. So being able to impart that to someone else is like, it's a full circle thing that I'm seeing
yeah,
there,
it is.
Which is awesome.
Yeah.
All right, Jen, before we wrap this up, I'm going to put you in the DeLorean, take you back. Let's go 5 years. Mm-hmm. You got one piece of advice to give to Gemma 5 years ago.
Mm-hmm.
What's that piece of advice?
It's a tough question, Ray.
I love this
one. I actually said to myself I should think of something before I come, but I forgot.
It's in every episode and it stumps every person.
5 years ago. Wow, where was I 5 years ago? 2019?
Yeah, 2019.
Wow, that was a rough year for me. I would say trust God. That point in my life, God had brought me out of a lot of trials and tough times. And looking back now, I could see God's hand and the goodness he brought through it all. So trust God, enjoy the trials, as hard as it is to say. Look for God's hand in it and just seek him and bring it all to his feet, because he will bless you and provide miracles in and through it.
And that's a very interesting point. I mean, we've both had our share of trials, and trusting God through those trials becomes easier. Mm. The more you do it, the easier it becomes. But you said something very intriguing, and that's enjoy the trial.
Yep.
That's something every Christian says. It's something they always say on the pulpit. It's something every teacher tries to bring out. Enjoy the trial, because God's going to teach you so much in it.
Yep.
But if you can bring yourself to a point to enjoy it, to learn to enjoy it, to learn to see what God could be doing in it, it changes the view of that trial entirely.
100%, yeah.
How do you practically try to enjoy a trial?
It's a tough one. For me, I think knowing that God uses trials to make you a better Christian, make you depend on him greater, make you trust in him more. I just think it's hard to say to enjoy the trial, because in the midst of it, you absolutely hate your life.
Yeah, it's
and
rough.
And no one's dimming down hard times.
No, definitely not.
It is hard. I just, trusting God has a purpose. Every good thing is from God, and every trial is from God. So knowing that you will come out of it, and practically being the word, as much as you think God's has left you alone during that time, he's not. He's waiting for you to come. His arms are open wide. So just go to him, whether you hear his voice or not in that moment. He's just there.
Well, ladies and gents, if you are struggling with a trial, Gemma's 100% right. God is there, and he's waiting, and he's willing to listen to you. And so are we. Listen, if you need to talk to someone, you need to reach out to someone, just comment below, please. That's what we're here for. That's been the point of this channel, is we want to be a place where people can find help if they need it. Just know that the Lord loves you, and he's there to help you throughout it. Gem, thank you so much for joining me today.
Thanks for having me.
Really appreciate it. Now, the people can find you on Have a Chat Productions on Tell Me More. Getting those two stuffed up. Where else can they find you online?
Instagram, I guess.
Butte Bonza, that's showing up on the screen below, ladies and gents. Ladies and gents, thank you so much for joining us for another episode. Like, subscribe, share this video around. And if you do, YouTube's just a little bit nicer to us, and we will love you for it. Gem, thanks for talking to me.
Thanks for having me. Bye, guys.